wasn't at all sure when I was to get up. At home, we sing to give me the time to get up, the strength to get back up to offer the invitation. Life for me over the last 10 years has been anything than pleasant. I, some 10 years ago, had a strange infection injected into my spine. And after surgery, the doctor told my wife, I give him about a 20% chance to live. Get all of his affairs in order. Call all of your family. Fortunately, after a very long recovery that was filled with all sorts of setbacks and trials and frustrations, I finally regained my health again. And about the time that I finally felt like I was healthy and had conquered that, lo and behold, some very serious back issues decided that they were going to crop up. Standing or walking was absolutely excruciating. Even lying in bed in certain positions just about bring tears to my eyes. And the doctors had no real answer for what was causing the trouble. And then in the midst of all of that, I begin to notice some unusual things happening. And for the most part, I just explained them away by thinking that they were recurring because I'd had a couple of serious strokes several years before that. And so I paid no attention to what was going on because I knew there was nothing that I could do about it. And suddenly, one day in a doctor's office, when I was there for something entirely unrelated, the doctor looked at me and observed certain things going on. And she said, "You've got Parkinson's." I had no idea what that was, except that Muhammad Ali had had it, and another actor that I, whose name slips me right now, he had had it. I'd known a few people who had had it, and in my mind, it was going to be completely debilitating, and that was the end of a meaningful and productive life. Sadly, I went home, reared back in my recliner and just sat there and thought, well, here I am till I die. I was able to, over a great many objections on my part, talk with some folks in, of all things, a boxing program. Can you imagine me as a boxer? And it's a special program that is designed for Parkinson's patients, and it's having amazing results. And so I finally gave in and went and joined up, and suddenly I wasn't shaking quite as much. I was walking better. I was talking better. My attitude was better. I was sleeping better. And I was beginning to come through and deal with some of those difficulties. I share those things with you, not because I am seeking your sympathy, but just to share with you that my life, the last decade, has been anything but easy. My son asked me one day, some while ago, "Dad, with all the problems problems. You have faced problems that you don't deserve, problems that you should not have had. Why in the world are you still a Christian? And I must admit, I had had some of those same thoughts myself. If God is really good and gracious, and He truly rewards those who honor Him, then why is all of this happened? I sat back then and thought of all that our Lord had to endure, of which He was not deserving or worthy. I see the life of the Apostle Paul, who was beaten and shipwrecked and suddenly became a hunted and hated man. And I began to realize that, look, kid, you haven't had it nearly as bad as a whole lot of other people. So kick yourself in the rear end, pick yourself up, and get back to work. And that did not happen quickly. It took some time. I'm somewhat stubborn, and it took me more than one chance to finally acknowledge that I needed to make some very serious changes in my attitude. And the reason that I have both endured those difficulties and remained faithful to God in large measure is because I'm afraid of hell. I don't know what kind of bodies that we are going to have after the great resurrection. I don't understand how we can have a body as it's described by our Lord. But I know that whatever kind of body it is, that it is going to be capable of burning, but never burning up. There are two ways to die that I think would be absolutely the worst. One is drowning, and one is burning up. And I realized I needed to make some serious changes in my attitude because I didn't want to go to hell and burn for eternity. I simply could not imagine that. The more real that heaven became, and the more that I read about it and studied it and prayed about it and reflected upon it, suddenly heaven was beginning to become more real than it had ever been. God was still God in spite of what things I had endured. God still had the right to rule the entire universe, including man, and to set up regulations for our behavior. And because God was still God, hell was real, heaven was real, I began working with a great deal of diligence to begin to get my sorry attitude changed. Something that helped me a lot was what Paul had to say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing. Whatever we have to endure, whatever the injustice, whatever the pain, whatever the betrayal, living as Paul did, who was able to come to the end of his life with such calm and peace and hope and assurance. That's the way I want to end up on my deathbed. Sadly, as a located preacher, I have on far too many occasions been asked to come and to stand at the bedside of people who were not Christians, or people who had at one time professed faith in Christ, but had ceased living like they really believed that. To see them as they are about to take their last breath, to see the fear in their eyes, the dread on their lips. And then I think of the Apostle Paul, who very calmly says, if I can paraphrase, I'm about to die, but there's waiting me after I close my eyes in death a crown of righteousness that is certain and sure, guarded by my Lord. We need to think at times about how is it that we want to die? What do we want to be on our minds and on our lips when we face that moment that is certain to come to each and every one of us? We can face death with fear and dread and trembling, or we can face it with the calmest of assurance, knowing that what waits for us is something far much better than here that we do not deserve. We would plead with you this evening that if you're not a child of God, or you have not lived consistent with your profession of faith, that you might use the opportunity tonight, perhaps the last opportunity that you would have, to surrender yourself to Christ. Surrender to His will. Make Him your Lord. Acknowledge Him as your Master. Join with Him in the waters of baptism when He will do His incredible work of taking away your sins and causing you to rise up out of that water a whole new person, a new purpose in life, a new direction in life, and a new hope in life. It may be that after having obeyed the Lord some time in the past, your behavior has not been consistent with that which marks a child of God. Graciously, God doesn't ask much of us. He simply says that if we will acknowledge our sin and fervently pray to Him in honesty, He will forgive us of our sins, so that that hope of reward can be ours again with confidence. It may be that you have done things in a public way that would need to be acknowledged before your brethren. It may be something that is known to you and you only. If that's the case, you've got an opportunity this evening to humbly bow your head before God, pour out your heart and its desire for forgiveness. Whatever your need might be, you can let that need be known in front of the most supportive audience you're ever going to find yourself in. folks here would be absolutely delighted to help you laying hold and securing your salvation. If the brethren here can help you in any way, we would beg and pray that you would come forward this evening and make that desire known, that we might help you with whatever spiritual need you may have. Won't you come this evening while we stand?